We've just concluded a summer series where the topic has been, is God to blame? Have you recycled those messages, friends, in the last week? This was dressed both from a biblical and a personal perspective. And we wondered, God, what are you saying? Where are you? Does it sound suspiciously like Job? What do you want us to hear? Do you hear the words of the psalmist? Oh, Lord, where are you? How are we to respond? Do you hear the echoes of Habakkuk's question that Dave Reed led us in last week? So I want us to not only hear what God's word says, both at that time, I want you to hear what it's saying to us right now. I want you to read it with me out loud. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 6. It's not only in your pew Bible, it's in the screen behind me. Together, let's read it. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as sons. There's a theme here. Much like we, much like folk around the world, much like God's people need encouragement, so the folk to whom this writer was dealing with needed encouragement. We've seen that all throughout the book of Hebrews. And now, when the punch time comes, when the crunch comes, the author brings to their mind three reasons, three points of encouragement. The first is that there are people watching. There are spectators. Note again verse 1. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. These spectators are watching. They are people who are called the faithful of God. Note that when people die who know who God is and are brought to heaven, they don't sit on little clouds and eat grapes and strum harps at each other. No, instead they're intensely interested in what's going on among the folks that they leave behind. The picture here is one of intense interest in the race that we are now running, which is part of this grand relay that existed from the faithful from of old to those who one Jesus will be when he comes back. We have thought about the unseen cloud of witnesses. They are witnesses in a double sense. They have witnessed their confession to Christ, and now they witness our performance as we have our turn on the track. The writer then says that the world is sort of like a crowded stadium, and these folk are in the stands, and they're looking down, and they're just not looking with casual interest. They're cheering us on. Why? Well, I want to suggest three reasons. First, they watch because they see what we have that they didn't. Can you remember Noah? He builds this ark, and all of a sudden he realizes that he not only saved himself and his family, but he made the world go on so that the ark itself becomes a picture of Jesus. And Noah's in heaven, he said, "Now I understand what you were doing." Or think of Ruth. She also was a refugee. She was a foreigner. She knew what it was like to go without food. And yet she was faithful. And in the midst of being faithful, she runs into this guy, Boaz, and has a son who ultimately becomes the great-great-grandfather of David. Now I see, God, why you kicked me out of Moab. Ruth's there looking down. Or someone like Daniel, another refugee. He goes as a young child, and all of his life is disturbed. And yet Daniel portrays someone who faithfully prayed, even when the edict of the king was, don't pray to anybody except to me. And he's looking down and he's saying, oh, guys, he's still faithful in doing the basic disciplines of the Christian life, because now I see that you have something that I could only see darkly, in a glass, in visions and dreams. You have it! You know that Jesus has finally come. Secondly, they watch because their fortunes are tied to ours. In other words, how we perform, the writer says, intimately completes what they started. Can you think of someone like Hosea, whose family was in chaos, and yet he remains faithful to God? So if your wife or your husband is giving you grief, remember what happened to Hosea, and you can be faithful as well. And you know the way you're faithful completes Hosea's faithfulness. They watch because their perspective is now complete. They understand something that they only saw from a bit. It seems like ages ago. But this past summer, I had a weekend flirt with midlife crisis. I was only given 3 days to enjoy it. My brother loaned me his Cobra. Some of you will understand what this is all about. And what happened, of course, it was given to me on the weekend of the GBC family picnic. I got to drive it around. Now, what's fascinating about this is when I was in this car, everyone looked at me. They heard me before they saw me. Some of you looked at me. The police looked at me. I had not changed, but all of a sudden I understood what spectators were like. Here, dumb old Bob McCoy, who basically is a dowdy sort of guy, looked cool because he was sitting in the Cobra. And I had nothing to do with it. It was a grace gift. Now, friends, if a Cobra can change your perspective of yourself, sitting in Christ ought to revolutionize the way you look at yourself. Because we have been given by grace something that's much more valuable than a car. And as we come to reside within the person and work of Jesus, the spectators of heaven are watching. And they're saying, what are you going to do? Keep on keeping on. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, run. Be faithful. Now, if they're around watching from the outside, what is it that we ought to look at? Well, the writer tells us, we have to look at Jesus. And this is the second point of encouragement. He is the Son who suffered but now sits in heaven. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. He is called the author. He's the one that wrote down. He wrote the script of what our faith is. And he is the perfecter. He is the completer. He is the one who brings it together. So he already has the bookends of the story from Genesis to Revelation written out. And therefore, if you know what the end already looks like, reference last Sunday. If you know what the end of history looks like, then keep your eyes focused on the person who's written it. It's Jesus himself. He is the focus in living by faith. He is its originator. He is its finisher. You see, friends, at base level, we don't believe in a system. We believe in a Savior. At base level, we don't believe in a kind of view of morality. We believe in a man. At base level, brothers and sisters, we don't believe in good works. We enjoy the grace of God to us. And you focus your eyes on Jesus. He is also the focus not only of the faith we believe and exercise, but he's the focus of how we should deal with frailty and fear, so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. The objective foundation of our faith that the author emphasizes also works its way out when you feel weak and unable to do it. Can I let you know that I'm praying for Alfred Young? He says, I feel weak. I don't know how to make decisions regarding the life of my family, the people of the church, the 413 ministry. And he said, he called this morning, he says, I'm not sleeping real well. Can you understand why? So at the end, we're going to spend some time praying, and I'm going to ask you to pray that Alfred gets a good night's sleep tonight. But you know, the frailty that we have is something we can give to Jesus because he knew what it was like to be frail. The faith we exercise looking at Jesus is not in some person that never exhibited weakness. He himself did. But he was faithful in spite of it. And you may be more worried about the price of gas than you are anything else right now. But the issue is focus on Jesus. Because he's the author and the finisher of our faith. Way back when we had kids in high school, we often went to track meets. And one of the persons on the Fitch track team was a special needs student. What he lacked in speed, he made up for in commitment and verve. And what would happen is the race would begin and he would often end up a whole lap behind. But at the end, his family members would stand at the finish line and the rest of the team was, and he would focus on it and he'd be working. You see, this race isn't to the quick, it's to the faithful. And the issue, brothers and sisters, is who are you focused on? The writer of the book of Hebrews says that there are witnesses all around. The spectators are watching. But the focus is Jesus. That leads, of course, to the third thing. The nature of the struggle that we've started hasn't stopped. We're part of a family. Now, some of this will pick up next week. I'll let you know that. But I want to make one huge point here. And that is that the trials that we go through are meant by God to develop our family ties. What father doesn't discipline his children for their good? In fact, it's one of the indications of abuse when you don't discipline your kids and let them do whatever they want. That's not what kids need. That's not what we need. So we focus on Jesus enduring the struggle because we know that God grants difficult times in order to refine us and make us people who are fit for his use. And these disciplines, as he says, are temporary. It says the Lord disciplines those he loves and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. So you understand now how this works. One, the motivation is to look back on what those people have done before. And you read their history, both in the Bible and in church history, and you see that God has provided a whole spectator audience that is cheering us on. And you realize that you are never alone. There's always somebody watching you. And are they not watching just out of disinterest? They're there saying, if you're one of the believers in Jesus, go for it. Secondly, you've got a present occupation, and that is focus on Jesus. It's not just the folks in the past that you need to say, and they're looking over the balcony of heaven, but Jesus himself is at the finish line. Go for it. And then along the way, when the disciplines, the struggles, the things that get you all uptight come your way, recognize that's part of the territory. God's allowing it so that my next stage of the journey will even be more effective for himself. I look backward. I look forward. I deal with the present. And the writer gives these comments in order to encourage us to move on. Who's ahead? Who's around? What's been started? I found it curious this past week that the New London Day encouraged its readers to pray. I had to chuckle. And then all of a sudden I was rebuked. What's going on in our world is much bigger than we can handle. Unless we ask God explicitly for his help, we're helpless. So I want to invite you to pray right now. I've got a couple minutes. I want you to turn just to the person next to you. Offer a couple words of prayer to the Lord, and then I'll close in prayer, and we'll sing a final song. We'll be done. Pray in twos and threes right now. Just pray. Let's pray. Now, Lord Jesus, what we're about is too big for us, and so we invoke your presence and your power in our lives and through our lives to others. Lord, even as they're meeting outside in the grass, would you be with our brothers and sisters in Covington? Would you be with your people all throughout the Gulf Coast? Would you be with your people in places of deep distress all throughout the world? Lord, would you care for those who are struggling in the Sudan? Would you care for those who are meeting underground in places like Saudi Arabia and China? Lord Jesus, would you help us to focus our eyes on you? Help us to appreciate that we're not alone. Thank you that these issues that come to our life are meant to refine us, shape us, and help us reformulate our priorities. Now, each of us carry to this particular room and this particular place things that trouble us deeply. And we ask your prevailing grace in our own lives, in our own families, marriages, work, home, and the situations of life that we'll face in the coming week. Lord Jesus, would you be our focus and the means to our finishing well? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.